Hour, we are marking the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks and their impact on all of us. Thanks again to Elizabeth Kramer and Charles Traub for sharing their experience in New York on that day with us. University of Louisville History Professor Teresa Keeler is still with us. And now please welcome to In Conversation Dr. Mohammed Babar. He's the founding president of Muslim Americans for Compassion, an interfaith and charitable organization based in Louisville. He's also active in many other similar organizations. And he is a medical doctor. He's a clinical assistant professor as well with the University of Louisville Department of Family and Geriatric Medicine. Dr. Babar, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
First of all, tell us about Muslim Americans for Compassion. That's an organization you co-founded, right, based here in Louisville?
Yes. And Rick, first of all, I would admit that if 9/11 tragedy has not happened, I'm not sure if this organization would have been in place. So during all the trials and tribulations after 9/11, the journey which we took in our city of Louisville through service, because we wanted to share our story with our fellow citizens through the foundation of our faith, Islam, which is service like Christianity, Judaism, or any other faith tradition. So we got involved with our local nonprofit organizations. We tried to assist our fellow citizens through the Center for Interfaith Relations, Home of Innocence, Dare to Care. And whenever there was any opportunity, we were the first ones to volunteer. When Henryville tornado happened, we took teams of volunteers and we assisted our fellow Hoosiers and Americans in cleaning their houses and fields. We collected donations. We supported the Henryville Middle School. And to this day, we have continued this relationship. Similarly, we also felt the need that we need to reach out to our Christian brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, and folks from other faith traditions. So we have made great bridges in Louisville. Every year we have Interfaith Iftar Dinner, which is held at Second Presbyterian Church, and over 600 Louisvillians attend that event. So Muslim Americans for Compassion is an interfaith, a philanthropic organization that is trying to pay back its due to Louisvillians.
Well, you have a column this week in the Courier-Journal, and you talk about working as a young doctor in Buffalo, New York on 9/11. And I'm going to read a little passage from that. You said the hospital CEO gathered us all for a meeting and emphasized that irrespective of our ethnic and religious differences, we were all together in this tragedy as one family. The meeting was called when an employee said to a fellow team member with Middle Eastern ancestry, "Look at what your people have done to us." During the meeting, it struck me for the first time that I was probably different from my fellow Americans and that my life will never be the same. It was the lowest moment of my life, and I felt terribly lonely in my apartment that evening. What an awful feeling to have on that awful day. But you went out and you tried to give blood shortly after that, right?
Yes. That was a very difficult time for all of us. And it's the first few hours, like every other fellow American, I was feeling the pain and the grief. But in that meeting, I am probably different and which direction the narrative is heading, it was a very painful feeling. And I remember that I was sitting and I was in my apartment and I was reflecting that what can I do? And still I saw on the TV that the blood is needed, and I walked to my local Red Cross office, and in that line, Rick, there were Americans of all different colors. Mm-hmm. There were white African Americans and probably people of different faiths also. And there Mohammed Babar was standing with them. And that's what America is. And that's the America I want to remember. And that is, and I think that's the thing which came out of 9/11, that at that time we were united than ever. And especially it hurts me to say that in these times, these trying times when we are living, when a global pandemic, rather than uniting us, is dividing us as a nation. So I think on this 20th anniversary of 9/11, We need to remind ourselves that the way we were united after 9/11, that as a nation and as a country, we need to get united. And also, we need to remind ourselves that we all are Americans. We need to be colorblind. Our African-American brothers and sisters who have endured injustices for centuries, that we need to make sure that it has to stop. Similarly, Muslim Americans, Islam is no alien to USA. As you may know, Thomas Jefferson bought his first copy of Holy Quran in 1765 in Williamsburg. The significant percentage of humans who were enslaved from Africa, they were Muslims. So we Muslims, we are not a threat. We are not a security risk. We Muslim Americans, we like any other fellow American, we also cherish life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
We are marking the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. You just heard Dr. Mohammed Babar, founding president of Muslim Americans for Compassion. Also on the phone with us is University of Louisville History Professor Teresa Keeley. And we need to take some calls here. 502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. You want to share your 9/11 experience, or if you have some other thoughts for our guests. Let's go to Kathy in Louisville, because she wants to point out that terrorism still takes place on our soil, but it's domestic terrorism. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Did you have a 25th anniversary of the bombing of the Murrow Federal Building in Oklahoma City? White guys, we don't call white men committing acts of terrorism, and that partly is the media. What about Las Vegas? What about people, that guy who shot at our United States legislators? We have acts of terrorism, but we only characterize it as terrorism when it's people of color or people who are foreign. And we need to realize how much domestic terrorism is, and to call all terrorism being terroristic. And what about January 6th? Those people were terrorists. Part of it is the media, and part of it, I think, is it's an excuse to then enact the Patriot Act, which robbed us of so many civil liberties, because we portray terrorists as others when really they're embedded in the very fabric of our country. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, Kathy. Let's talk about the aftermath in the years since, Dr. Barbar. You personally and other Muslim Americans face so much added surveillance and scrutiny, profiling, to put it bluntly, and yet your life's work has been about love for this country and healing. You know, people can understand if you were angry and bitter, but you've managed to go in the other direction. How have you managed to do that?
It becomes difficult at times, Rick, but I take my energy and my inspiration from my faith tradition, Islam, which is based on compassion and forgiveness and love for everyone is basic tenets like it is of any other faith tradition. And it was tough when we, during 2016 election campaign, we were talking about a Muslim registry. And I told my friends that you guys probably are not aware, but there was a kind of Muslim registry in a year after 9/11, I had to register myself. I was photographed and I was fingerprinted. So it was an embarrassing moment for me that when, as a young physician and as an American who has nothing to do with those terrorists, had to go through this indignity. Traveling was so difficult for me, but Rick, as a society, as a nation, as a world, when you have to and you move forward, then you need to do reconciliation. You need to put your fears, concern, your hatred, all your strong feelings away. You need to, at that time, just focus on how to move forward. Because if we all dwell on the injustices or the things which we don't like, which have been done to us, then how will we move forward? So as a nation, as a society, we need to put past behind and move forward, and while learning from the past and promising and making sure that those missteps and those injustices should not happen in future to anyone.
Let's take another call. Joe is in Louisville. Hello, Joe. Welcome to In Conversation. Joe, oh, hang on. Joe, are you there?
Can get the yes, button. I am.
There we go. Go right ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I have a quick thought. You know, PTSD came, you know, a long time ago, eons ago. But after the 9/11 event, you know, America was definitely, you know, suffering the PTSD, both post and present. And we seem to have, in our infinite wisdom, spread it throughout the world. You know, we went to the Muslim countries, bombed them, very many innocents, hundreds of thousands, we don't even know, killed and maimed. We destroyed a lot of their culture, their buildings, their cities. And they have to be going through the same thing that Americans did, but on a much larger scale with the PTSD. You know, war is hell, but we brought the war to a lot of innocent people. And I can't understand how they don't hate us more than they ever did before 9/11, if your people could answer that question. Thank you.
Dr. Kidd, you want to address that? How, I mean, is that something we've seen in foreign policy and foreign relations in the 20 years since 9/11? More Muslim countries have acrimony for us or less?
Well, one of the point that the caller made, sorry, I don't remember his name, mentioned about hate, and it goes back to after 9/11, President Bush, second President Bush, was saying, why do they hate us? And I think that's an important thing to think about is, well, why did 9/11 happen? And I think looking back at what U.S. foreign policy and involvement in the Middle East, the Gulf region, what that historically had been, to honestly take a look at that doesn't take anything away from the people whose lives were taken that day. It doesn't make them any less of a victim. I think it's important to think about the consequences of U.S. intervention in parts of the world and how that can make foreigners feel. But it's important to not just think about how Americans feel about their U.S. foreign policy, but what the impacts of that are and how foreigners perceive the United States, just as Americans would have views of other countries and their foreign policies. So in terms of trying to quantify whether now versus 20 years ago, there could be more hatred for the United States, I don't know that you could necessarily quantify it. I would think it's fair to say that it existed then and it exists now, and it's important to look at what U.S. action and the role of the United States has been in the world.
Joe, thanks for your call. 502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. You just heard Professor Teresa Keeley, Associate Professor of History at the University of Louisville. Also on the line with us is Dr. Mohammed Babar, who's President of the Muslim Americans for Compassion Group based here in Louisville. Let's get David in New Albany on. He's been waiting. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. On that day, I was on the New Jersey Turnpike driving north, headed into Manhattan in a semi-truck, and I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about the first plane hitting, and traffic was stopped on the turnpike. I guess we're about 4 or 5 miles from ground zero. It was right out the front window, and I could see the second plane out over the water coming in, and no one knew it was coming in to hit the building, but I knew it was out of place because I drive up there a lot, and that's not a normal flight path, and then it flew into the building. And at that point, everything just, you know, went to pieces. I managed to make it to a place in New Jersey where I could stay. I knew I wasn't going into Manhattan. And the biggest part was not being able to contact my family to let them know I was okay, because they knew I was up there. I really like the comments that have been made, the most recent ones, especially by your historian there, about examining the reasons why these things happen and why the U.S. is perceived the way they are in the world, we are in the world today. One of the results of this in my family is that my daughter went on to study Arabic and has lived in the Middle East. And as a matter of fact, heading there right now to visit some friends. And it opened up the fact that this is not, well, these are good people. What have we done to make them hate us so?
All right, David. Thanks so much for your call. Were you in New Jersey on business or visiting?
I was driving a semi truck. At that time, I was hot hauling blood plasma for the American Red Cross.
I see. Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your participation. 502-814-8255 is our number. Before we run out of time, Dr. Babar, I know the Muslim Americans for Compassion has a number of events coming up this weekend in conjunction with the 9/11 anniversary. Tell us some of the things you're going to be doing this weekend.
Yes, Rick, 9/11 anniversary is a traumatic for all of us, but especially for us Muslim Americans, it's a double whammy that many of our friends, they try to be invisible on that day. But at Muslim Americans for Compassion, we thought that this is the time that when we need to be more out in public with our fellow Americans, doing the remembering and also acknowledging our first responders, because 412 first responders gave their life while saving fellow Americans. So we have been distributing lunch boxes on every 9/11 for all over last 10 years. And this year, being the 20th anniversary, in collaboration with Office of Globalization of Louisville Metro, we are planning to distribute around 1,000 lunch boxes tomorrow across Louisville Metro to around 40 locations, which include Louisville Fire Department, 8 LMPD police stations, EMS and ER emergency room departments in local hospitals. It's from 10:30 to 12 tomorrow, and that is our way to thank our first responders for everything which they did 20 years ago, but which they are doing day and night out to keep fellow citizens safe.
Now, is your organization, is it just based in Louisville, or has it spread to other communities, or are you part of a national organization?
No, we are just based in Louisville.
I see. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today. We really could go longer with this program. There's so much to talk about, and there's been a lot of talk this week on various public radio programs and various platforms about the aftermath and everything that went on. And I really appreciate both of you taking the time to talk to us. Professor Teresa Keeley, Associate Professor of History at the University of Louisville, and Dr. Muhammad Babar, who is President of Muslim Americans for Compassion. Dr. Babar, do you have a website or a contact or somewhere where people can get information about your organization?
We have a very active Facebook page. If folks can Google us, put us in search in Facebook. Also, we have a website, which is www.macus.org.
Very good. Thanks again to both of you for joining us, as well as Elizabeth Kramer and Charles Traub, talking about their experiences. And thanks, as always, to our In Conversation production team, Michelle Tyreen Johnson, Laura Ellis, Brad Yost and Russell Wells. Bill Burton anchors our local newscast. Koji Toshiro composed our opening and closing theme. And I'm Rick Halbert. Thanks for listening.